say, man. I'm going to ask you, Saints, this evening, if you will turn with me to Romans 5, 1 and 2. Amen. Romans 5, 1 and 2. And I'm also going to be reading three other scriptures that have to do with this passage here. But Romans 5, 1 and 2. Amen. And it reads, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Amen. Now, the three other scriptures, I want you to write these down because it's good reading. Amen. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Amen. And I'm going to read these scriptures, but I want you to write them down because it all has something to do with what Father is speaking on this evening. Amen. But Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Amen. Not of works, lest any man shall boast. 2 Timothy 2, 1, it tells us this. It says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the last scripture is 1 Peter 5:10. Amen? It says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make ye perfect, stable, strengthened, settle you. Amen. So, Saint, with the scriptures that I've read here, I'm pretty sure you can get what I'm trying to get to. Amen. I just want to talk a little bit about God's grace. Amen. About God's grace. And what is grace? For us, grace is one of the most essential parts of God's character in the Bible and in the world we live. And when you say or you think, well, why is it in the world we live? Because we have to have grace to deal with every situation that we have ourselves involved in. Amen. Now, in the scriptures I just read, it's clearly expressed in the promises of God revealed unto us. Amen. Grace is the love of God shown to the unloved. It's the peace God gives to the restless, the unmerited favor of God. Amen. Now, in Christian terms, grace can be defined as God's favor towards the unworthy, or God's benevolence on the undeserving. In his grace, God is willing to forgive us and bless us, even though we fall short of living righteously. Amen. This is the grace that God gave unto us, saints. It was undeserving, but he gave it unto us. Amen. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, it says this. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But yet, his grace, saints, his grace, he desires to show us that he is a loving father who can help us change from a sinful life to an everlasting life. Amen? With a grace-filled life, saints, humility and commitment each day unto him brings us closer to him. It is through his grace and nothing of ourselves, amen? Through his grace. Titus 2, 11 and 14 tells us this. Write these scriptures down, saints. Titus 2, 11 through 14. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. It has appeared to all men. All men. Amen. Grace brings salvation. We can't go out and get it, saints. Salvation comes to us, and many have the opportunity to receive it, but many have rejected it. When Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock, he came. Amen? 12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen? Grace teaches us and declares that we are to operate in a life of being saved, amen, each and every day. It's the nature of God's grace which makes it, that makes the demands of believer consistent with his natural grace, amen. Grace puts ungodliness and worldly lust in our path. Grace teaches us to renounce those things, not to avoid those things. There's a difference there, amen. Grace, we are to live that life of grace, amen. Grace teaches us to renounce the things of the world. That means to put them away, to get away from them, to never have anything to do with them. But when you look at it, it talks about many want to avoid those things. It doesn't, you know, we try to put things away, but you can put them so far away. But we have to renounce those things, put those things away, have nothing to do with those things. Because just because you avoid them don't mean that they're out of sight, they're out of mind, amen? We have to put those things away and get away from those things, amen? But it's only through God's grace that we're able to do this. Now, 13 tells us this. It says, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace teaches us to expect and prepare for our coming Savior. Amen? We should live in active expectation of the return of Jesus. Live in active expectation. Every time, every day, we are to expect. Amen? We are to be prepared. Not get ready. Be prepared for the expectation of the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, amen. This is what Christ is looking for in us, amen. One writer says this. He says, grace is God reaching downward to a people who are in a rebellious state. Many of us were that way, amen? A lot of us were that way, amen? To keep it real, a lot of us were in a state that we were rebellious, amen? Grace is the unconditional love towards a person who does not deserve it, amen? With the life we live, we were undeserving, but God's grace and his unconditional love towards us. Amen? Grace is most needed and best understood in the midst of sin and suffering and brokenness. Amen? When everything is going good, you're not thinking about grace. Amen? But in our sin and our suffering and our brokenness is where grace sets itself apart. Amen? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 12:6-10. And this story here, this is Paul, amen? Paul the Apostle, again, amen? Paul had a heavenly vision, amen? But he didn't want what he went through to elevate him to where people exalted him about what he went through, amen? Paul described the time when he was caught up in the third heaven. And this is in 2 Corinthians 12:2-4. He mentions himself in the third person when he says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Amen. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible things that no man is permitted to tell. Now, I told you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians 12:6-10, because that when I read this. What Paul went through here, he was in the third heaven. You know, when you do something great and you do something good, you don't want to tell too many people about it because they're gonna lift you up, they're gonna elevate you, they're gonna exalt you. Paul was not trying to boast of himself and what he had experienced, amen. But here in 6, it says, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest any man shall think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he heareth of me." Paul was basically saying, don't elevate me because I tell you these things. Don't lift me up because I tell you these things. But 7 says, "Unless I shall be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffer me, lest I shall be exalted above measure." See, many times man receives, man is lifted up, man is boasted for, and he's elevated to a level to where you can't even get to him no more. And Paul was trying to show the people, don't exalt me. Don't lift me up. 8 says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me." The thorn that Paul received was to help him not exalt himself. Amen? But when you look at this, he said, "I bestowed unto the Lord, I sought the Lord 3 times that it may depart from me." Paul did exactly what he told others to do in the time of trouble. Paul believed for himself what he wrote in Philippians 4:6. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Amen. Paul was going through something because he had a thorn, and many men and theologians have speculated what it was, and they think it's this, and they think it's that. But the whole focus is not the focus on what it was. The focus is on what God said in this time that Paul was going through this. God had a response for Paul. The answer probably wasn't what Paul initially hoped for or expected, but God still had a response for Paul. You're going through something. You're dealing with something. But in 9, this is what God said. He said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Instead of removing whatever the thorn was that was in Paul's life, God gave him the grace. The grace God gave Paul was sufficient to meet his every need. I'm not going to take it away, but I'm going to give you the grace to deal with it. And as it is for us, God's grace is sufficient for us when whatever we face in life. Amen? His grace is sufficient, as Paul said, in all things, pray about it. Amen? But Paul's response was this. Here's Paul's response. He said, "Most gladly, therefore, when I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Ten says, "Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproach, in necessity, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Amen. When we go through things, are we saying what Paul is saying here? When I am weak, then am I strong. We may be weak in the flesh, but God's spirit is always strong in us. And many times we need to lean on the strength of God instead of leaning on the strength of our flesh. because our flesh will always fail us, amen? But God's Spirit is everlasting and ever-powerful, amen? Paul recognized in his affirmities, in reproach, in necessity, in persecution, in distress, it was through God's grace that he was able, He could have gloried in himself or caused others to glory in him because of his experience being in a third heaven. But God gave him something. I'm going to take that away from you because I want you to focus on this. And I don't want people elevate you to another level. Amen? Because Paul, as so are we, are not immune to the danger of pride. Amen? None of us are immune to the danger of pride. God's people have in them a root of pride because as long as we are in this flesh, which is easily persuaded, there's a chance, amen? Because this flesh can be easily persuaded, but because of God's grace, because of his grace, amen? Paul said, I was given a thorn in the flesh to prevent me from being exalted above measure. Paul revealed the reason for telling his heavenly vision not to glorify himself, but to explain the thorn in his flesh. He wasn't telling that story about where he was and what he did. He was talking about what God had did to him and through him. Because of the thorn in God in Paul's flesh, it was the grace of God. See, he looked at what God did instead of what he did. Amen? But in all of that said, it said that he allowed Satan to buffer him. Amen? Satan jumped at this opportunity, God's permission to afflict Paul, and did so with malice toward the apostle. Amen? But God had a purpose in mind. Amen? Because Satan may have thought he had Paul. If I give him this thorn, he's going to look away from God. He's going to take his focus off of God. He's going to curse God. But Father God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, when you look at it, you look at the story of Job, it's kind of similar. Amen? It says the same way that Satan thought he had Job. When he told God, he said, you remove that hedge and Job will curse you. But with all Job went through and everything that was taken away from him, Job had a response that was epic. Amen, saints? It was epic because Job's response was, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. No matter what I go through, I'm going to trust him. No matter what I have to deal with, I'm going to trust him. It is through God's grace, saints, that we are able to make it through the things that we face each and every day. It is his grace that gives us the strength that we need to overcome all the things that we face. See, we're looking at God's people who always have a smile on their face, who never seem to have worries, always happy. But as we think about our own circumstances, many have said in their hearts, I wish I were like that. They always seem to have no problems. They seem to not be going through anything. They seem happy all the time. But saints, the thing is this. They don't have to take what I do, amen? But if you've lived long enough to know that sometimes the most radiant faces hide the greatest pain, amen? Mm. You can look at people smiling all day, every day. Amen? And as Brother Michael said, take the mask off. Amen? Pull the mask down and see the true you. Amen? Because the radiant faces hide the greatest pain, and often the one who is being blessed the most of God is the one being buffeted by the enemy. Amen? But you ask the question, how are they able to do this? The pain, the suffering, the affliction, the persecution that they go through. How? It is through God's grace, saints. It is through God's grace. And the thing is this, God's grace is for all, amen? It's for all. It's nothing of ourselves, amen? We live in a world where all are in need of God's grace. Amen? And it's only through God's grace that keeps us through the things that we face in our everyday life. Amen? Grace is the basis of our Christian identity. By grace, by the grace of God, we are who we are. Amen? We are who we are. In Romans 5:17, it tells us this. It says, for if by one man's offenses death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. Amen. See, Adam gave an offense that had consequences for the entire human race. Amen. And as a result, Adam's offense, many are dead in their sin. Many today are dead in their sin. Amen? But Jesus gave a free gift for the entire human race, but in a different way. Through the free gift of Jesus, the grace of God abound in many. Amen? Adam's works brought death, but Jesus' work brought grace. Amen? Now, remember this thing, and you have to, you really have to take this in. We are to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? 2 Timothy 2:1 tells us this. It says, though therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In everything we do and everything we say, even in our speech, our way of speaking, let us speak always and let it be gracious, amen? Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Speak life. Speak love. Speak kindness to all things. Father God is able to make all grace abound to us, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, we may abound in every good work. His grace help us in our time of need. Amen? In Hebrews 4:16, it tells us this. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Saints, we have a high priest who is both omnipotent and compassionate. We can come boldly to his throne. The devil wants to deceive many and think that Jesus is unapproachable. Amen? But that word there, boldly, it means we can come constantly, without reservation, freely, without elegant words, confidently, persistently. Amen? Grace comes from only one. It comes from only one source. Acts 11:23 tells us this. And so it says, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exalted them all, that with purpose of heart, they will cleave unto the Lord. Amen? We got to cleave unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because it is only through him that grace abounds in us. Amen? What Father God gives his children can't be given by no other. No other. You ain't going to find grace nowhere else. We are given something open to all, but many reject. We are encouraged to continue in God's grace. Amen? Our life in God and his grace is everlasting. Amen? In 1 Peter 1:3, it tells us this, and this is what we ought to do, saints. This is what we got to do. This is what we need to do. It says, wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober. Amen? Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? Grace, thanks. Grace reigns through righteousness, It leads to eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace is that special help which the Holy Spirit gives to enlighten our minds and to inspire and guide us in all truth. Amen. Our will is to do good and to avoid evil in every and all situations that we face. Saints, I have one more scripture, but I want you to receive God's grace on this day because he gives it to us freely. Amen. He gives it to us freely. Revelation 22:21 tells us this. It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. With that, I turn it back.